You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Right, so look, we're looking into the extent of harassment in the music industries of Australia and New Zealand, and we're focusing specifically on the contemporary or the popular music industry. There's been a lot of press since late last year, you know, with the hashtag MeToo movement and Harvey Weinstein, all of those revelations. And there have been a lot of stories around, anecdotal stories around about harassment in the music industry, but no academic study has been done to specifically look at that phenomenon. So that's exactly what we're doing. We're looking at harassment through the lens of a classic workplace harassment theory, if you like. So it's not just sexual harassment, it's bullying and it's intimidation and the things that kind of go together to make what people describe as toxic workplaces.
So is this research targeting just sort of major labels, focusing on the corporate side of the music industry, or this aim at targeting issues with lower ends such as music scenes and music communities?
We're looking across the board. So because no research has actually been done, this is the first major investigation. So we're looking at what is actually taking place and where is it taking place. So if people get online and do our survey, or if people contact me and do the interviews, and if they're from major labels, then we'll find out what's going on in major labels. And if they're from the small scale, the music scene, the gigs, the live industry scene, then we'll have people contact us from there as well. But some of our participants have been crew already. I've spoken to some people who are on the crew side of the music industry. I've spoken to people who are songwriters, and as well as live performers and producers. So it's getting to be, at the moment, in the early stages of the research, it's like across the board, people from everywhere. I've even had people who are in music education talk to me.
Okay, so within sort of a music scene, there's also external influences that make up a music scene, such as fashion industries. For example, Joe Bloggs Jeans is kind of associated with the Manchester scene. Those external influences be included in this research?
Right. So if you think of the music industry as, well, first of all, it's very diverse and very diffused. But if you think of it as being around the artist, if you put the artist at the center of the music industry, then around that artist, there's all sorts of people: PR, promotions, management, as you say, fashion labels and things like that. Anybody who is basically working in the music industry at all can be the subject of this research, because we're really just trying to find out exactly what's going on. I'm not sure that we want to get into the ins and outs of what's happening inside a fashion label, but we would be definitely interested in how that impacts the artist and how that impacts the world of the industry, for sure.
So also the dynamic of the music industry has changed dramatically over the last 20 years. One of these changes is the ability for artists to gain exposure independently rather than through a major label. Do you believe this has a positive effect on reducing harassment cases, or has this just created further implications that haven't been investigated yet?
Well, that's what a great question. I mean, the truth is we really don't know. We know that the music industry has changed. We know that the change has been dramatic. And it's just as you described. There's been a democratization of the industry. People can find their own audiences through social media and Spotify and streaming services and so on and so forth. And you can be aggregated into iTunes, you know, so you don't need a label to represent you. But we don't know whether this has actually changed things or not. And part of the research is aimed at trying to discover exactly what the nature of the change is. I can say, though, that the dynamic of the music industry, the environment is an environment of acute uncertainty. So artists, the major labels haven't, you know, fallen over. They're still there. But what they do now is cherry pick from the new rising crop of artists who emerge, and across New Zealand in particular. So they'll look at who's got themselves a decent audience already and who's got a following. And rather than having to make that following up, manufacture it or push it or promote it, they're just going to harvest what's already there, if that makes sense. So the labels are still a player. It's just that the burden of risk in music career has shifted away from the labels who have all the money towards the artists who don't have all the money, and it's the artists having to make the investment. I mean, the cost of recording is so cheap now that you can record in your living room. So you can make an album, you know, on a smaller, much smaller budget than you used to be able to 25 years ago. And then, of course, that's great. That's great. And the fact that you can reach your audience through social media is great. But the risk, the financial risk, is more on the shoulders of the artist, particularly in the early stages of their career. That's the climate that all musicians and artists are working in right now.
So this research, you've said, hasn't been done on a large scale. So are you going to... Is it just going to be focused on Australia and New Zealand, or do you have plans to have a wider expansion?
Well, I have to limit it. You have to put some limits on it, otherwise... I'd be researching people from America and the UK. And some of the stories that I have, by the way, come from my pre-research interviews with artists in the United Kingdom and in the US. So these gave me the anecdotes that were part of what spurred me to start to do the study. But when you're doing an academic study, you've got to focus within a specific area. So we've just drawn that boundary. It's a manageable boundary. And because I live in Australia, it's easy for me to get to Australian artists, and I'm in New Zealand 2 or 3 times a year. Easy for me to get to New Zealand artists and music practitioners. So we hope to be able to draw conclusions, though, for the worldwide industry on the basis of this research, because I feel like the industries in Australia and New Zealand are smaller, but at the same time, they are undergoing the same kind of changes. They're in the same kind of working environments as everywhere else.
So a lot of your work with Zebra Collective focuses on artist mental health and artist vulnerability. Does this make artists more susceptible to harassment?
Wow, that's a great question, Damien. In actual fact, yes, I believe it does. The research is not in yet, so you can't take this as a research finding. However, what we understand about the creative community is that they have significant levels of vulnerability, significantly high levels of anxiety, and significant levels of vulnerability to mental distress. So an average person facing a similar situation, we could hypothesize that they don't have the same strong response as a highly creative thinker. And so those highly creative thinkers they have a kind of skinlessness to the external world, and they exhibit a lot of divergent thinking. They have very, very strong, very, very powerful imaginations, and that you put those sort of things together, and that's a recipe for anxiety. So even though, as I said to you a moment ago, it's not a research finding yet, I'm going to be interested to see whether or not there is a high level of reporting of that high levels of mental and psychological distress amongst the people I interview. Too early to say. We desperately need more participants. We need to interview around about 50 or so artists or music practitioners across both industries, and we need to have around about 160 people in the online surveys. Doesn't sound like much, but it's a challenge to get people to talk to you on the record, because we de-identify all of our research. That is not possible for anybody to be identified, but there's always that risk of damage to my reputation. What will people think if they kind of find out it's me? But the other big thing is, for most artists who have experienced harassment, it's very distressing for them to talk about it. And so we're in that process now, and for the rest of this year, of recruiting people who are willing to go to discuss their experiences and give us the insight that we need. Without that information, we don't have anything to take to governments and peak bodies to say, look, we need to make changes. Governments and peak bodies are moved by evidence, and so that's what the purpose of this research is: provide the evidence that says, look, this is what's going on. We need to make changes. We need to act.
So you sort of hope this research leads to government legislation to be able to deal with this issue?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's absolutely what I hope. Absolutely. Not just government I mean, governments can make legislative changes. I mean, in Australia, and I'm sure this is true in New Zealand, there already are, there already exists the legislation that says that, you know, workplaces should be safe places for all workers and that nobody should be experiencing harassment. The legislation already exists, but the way in which that legislation is, you know, is played out, how it's enforced, how is it managed, how is it managed in practice, who looks after it, who looks after the people, where do they go to, what mechanisms are there for them to report their circumstances. In the music industry, there's nobody. Who do you report your harassment to? You know, what government body do you go to? There is no government body that exists. There's no mechanism. Currently in New Zealand, for example, I think people who are experiencing distress contact the New Zealand Music Foundation, who have a 24-hour helpline, which is an amazing and an extraordinary initiative. And there's an Australian charity, music industry charity, has just followed along that model, to be honest. So New Zealand, of course, is leading the world yet again. But I feel like that's the beginning of things. I feel like what we need is major cultural change. And for that, it's not just governments, it's the peak bodies. And it's the major labels and the distributors and the people who wield the power in the industry, agreeing that this has gone on far enough. This is, you know, the damage that's being done to people is too great. People are in the music industry because they love music and they want music to be spread worldwide. You know, we don't want to keep damaging our artists. We don't want to keep damaging our practitioners. I think that would be, everybody would agree on that value. So therefore, once you put in place, once you show people what's actually going on, then it tends to spur some action.
Okay, that's all the questions I have. Is there any further comments you'd like to make?
I would just be grateful if you have listeners who are in the music industry or who know people in the music industry to point them to the research. Where there's a website, which is www.musicharassmentresearch.org, and there's an online survey that you can do. There's a contact form. You can click a link to contact me directly for to request for interview, and we'll conduct a confidential interview. I'd be grateful for that. If you're listening to this and you know people who've experienced harassment in the music industry, let's not leave it lying a deep, dark secret. Let's get it into an academic study that will make some change. Musicharassmentresearch.org.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.